let's begin. Again, this is a large topic, but being that we're in the week of Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut, appropriate to talk about the related topics. So, from tomorrow's shiur, those in my shiur will be Yom HaZikaron. It will be about Yom HaZikaron, messages of Yom HaZikaron. Today we'll discuss mitzvah. There are a lot of related topics. We could talk about the Kfiyah of Yom HaTzmaut. Maybe we'll talk about that Wednesday night. But the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel. We know a Jew is allowed to live anywhere in the world except for two places. One is in Egypt. A Jew is not allowed to live in Egypt. That's a separate topic. How is it that many Jews lived in Egypt? It says three times in the Torah that a Jew is not allowed to live in Egypt. The Rambam lived in Egypt. So how is that possible that the Rambam and the Radbaz and Rav Avadi Yosef and many of the other greats in history lived in Egypt? So, but a Jew generally can't live in Egypt, and that has to be explained. A Jew can't live on Har HaBayis. That's the other place a Jew can't live. That's a Makom Kadosh. You're not allowed to even walk on Har HaBayis. Every other place in the entire world, technically a Jew is allowed to live. But there seems to be, as we'll talk about, certain sources that tell us where a Jew should live. Not where a Jew can live, but where a Jew should live. A drush on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. I hope some of you have the sources. If you have them on your email, you could look at, or on the WhatsApp, Ellie sent out. But you know, the source is Shabbos Lamed Aleph, the famous six questions that we're going to be asked in the future. One of them being Kavati Itum LaTorah. Did you set aside time for Torah? That's the Pshut Yosha Mikra. We have to set aside time to learn Torah. But one of my favorite varts of all time is said by a medrash, but it's quoted there in the Menachem Tzion in source number 2. Kavati itim laTorah, on a deeper level, means in life we have to be koveya the itim, the Torah. We have to set the times, the light, our lives to the Torah. The Torah is what's fixed. The Torah is the anchor. And we have to set our lives to the Torah, not chas v'shalom the opposite. Our lives are the anchor. And the Torah, whatever parts of the Torah fit in, you know, I'll take that, then the rest I'll discard. You know, this part works for me, this part doesn't. No. It's because they had the itim to the Torah, not the Torah to the itim. So that applies in every area of life. But especially in this area of where a person lives, obviously it's a major question. There are certain mitzvos that, quote unquote, impinge and affect our lives more than many other mitzvos. Keeping Shabbos is a major one. Keeping kosher is a major one. Taras HaMishpacha is a major one. Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a major one. Deciding where we are going to live is what we're going to talk about in the next couple of minutes. Again, from one perspective, there are many, many sources related. We're going to give some of the major sources related. And this was already a question that the Sefer Kuzari, Reb Yehuda Levi, one of the great Rishonim, one of the early Rishonim, in source number 3, the Sefer Kuzari discusses. He was asked. Remember, the Sefer Kuzari was written. It's a made-up story, conversation between the king of the Kuzars, which is a nation that he was going around to try to find the right religions. He speaks to a Christian clergy, and he speaks to a Muslim clergy. And he comes to a Jew, and the whole book is all about talking to the Jew about philosophy, about Jewish philosophy. So one of the questions he asks is it interesting that you spend all of your prayers talking about Jerusalem and talking about, coming back to Eretz Yisrael? It's been 1,000 years. Rabbi Yehuda Levi lived about 1,000 years after the Korban. Been 1,000 years since you were exiled. So do you really mean it? Do you really want to go there? And the language of the king of the Kuzars, when he says to the Jew, to the Chaver, he says, "Ani ro eshish tachat b'yascha v'kriyascha ne'edachot." It's like a fake. Oh, minag b'dolti kavana. V'kariyav v'seichem arishan b'chrim l'dur b'yosem y'koma komas v'aladatam. People choose places other than the land of Israel to live in. By choice. How is it that you daven v'sechazena einenu? You daven that we should go back. What is the chaver? For every question that the king asks, he has an answer. This is the only one. He has no answer. Amar ha-chaver hovashtani melakuzar. You've embarrassed me. This is how we messed up in Vaisheni. Ezra Sofer. You don't get a rabbi greater than Ezra Sofer. Ezra says, come back. And how many Jews came back? 12,000 Jews came back. Most of the Jews said, they could have built a base on Migdash. And they said, we're in Bavel. We like it here. We're comfortable. We're good. And that was then. So the Sefer Kuzari already almost 1,000 years ago, 900 years ago already said, this is a difficult mitzvah that many of us are falling and not fulfilling. So let's talk a little bit about it from a halachic perspective, and then maybe we'll have some ideas relating to our generation specifically. Point number one is that the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to each of the Avos, he mentioned Eretz Yisrael. Each one. The first conversation Hashem had with Abraham, with Yitzchak, with Yaakov, with Moshe. Every conversation, the first one, had to do with Eretz Yisrael. Source number four. What's the first word that we know that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu? Hashem al Avraham, Lech Lecha. The first explicit words in the Torah. Lech Lecha me'artecha me'ladzecha. Reveis avicha l'aretz asher arecha. Go to the land that I'm going to show you. Vibracious. Erech Chavav. Hashem appears to Yitzchak. Yitzchak wants to go down to Mitzrayim. What does Hashem say? No, you can't. Gur ba'aretz hazos. You need to stay here. Yaakov Avinu, by the first time that we find explicitly Hashem talks to Yaakov Avinu, by the latter. Hashem Nitzav Alava Yomar, source number six, the beginning of Vayetze. Ani Hashem Elkei Avraham Avicha Elkei Yitzchak Haaretz Asher Tashochev Aleha Lecha Adin El Zarecha. That's pretty central. The first conversation that Hashem has with each of the Avos is about Eretz Yisrael. And again, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but we live in an unbelievable dor. But certain dor, if we were born in Israel, then this shear is, okay, I live here already. If we lived in a different generation where it was not shayach to live there, in some generations, we were persecuted, whatever it is, it's also, but it's a conversation that we have to have in this generation. The centrality of the land is clear from the first conversations that Hashem had with each of the Avos. And it's even clear from the first Rashi in Chumash. First Rashi in Chumash. You look in source number seven, Rashi, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, and Brachos. What is the first Rashi we all know? At Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mysterious Rabbi Yitzchak. It's a Medrash. Some say he's quoting his father. Rashi's quoting his father. He wants to quote his father at the beginning of Chumash. But it might just be that he found the Medrash that has Rabbi Yitzchak's name, which also was his father's name. Either way, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Torah should have started off with the first mitzvah given to Am Yisrael. The first mitzvah that we were commanded. So why do we have Sefer Bereishis? What's the purpose of everything before Parshas Bo? Says Rashi, unbelievable. What's the message? Why do we have Sefer Bereishis? To teach us that the Jews are the ones that have a connection to Eretz Yisrael. That is the first Rashi in Chumash. Jim Yomer Umos Ha'olam, the Yisrael, listem atem, the kavashtem arzos shiva goyim. If any of the other nations ever tell us, you are thieves. You are thieves that you stole our land. Im omrim lahem. Says, I'm trying to put the Marmot comments on the screen. Oh, there you go. First Rashi. Just go to scroll down to the next page. Right? The first Rashi is sort of.
I figured it off. I'm trying to figure out
that Eretz Yisrael belongs to Yisrael. So the centrality of the land is clear from many sources. The question that we have to discuss, that we're going to discuss, is so what does that mean in terms of living there, that is our question. The centrality is not debated. Can't be someone who opens up a chumash and not see the centrality. But the question is, what about regarding the mitzvah? So this is a very famous machlokas, or it is a machlokas. The question is, how basic and wide is the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam? The pasuk says in Parshas Matos, in source number eight. Source number eight, the pasuk says, "Vayetavashem Moshe Barvos Moav." Hashem says to Moshe, "Barvos Moav." Beautiful, there it is. In source number eight, "Rabbi Yisrael Amarta Lehem, speak to Bnei Yisrael, when you go into, when you cross the Yarden in Eretz Canaan, Horashtem as Kol Yoshvei Aretz Bebnechem, you shall drive out all of the people who live there if they don't want to leave. Right? They could stay if they want to become a Geri Tosha. Horashtem as Haaretz, Yishavtem Ba. You shall drive out the Canaanim and the Chiti and the Mori, and you shall settle there. Yishavtem Ba. Yilachem Asati as Aretz Laresha Sosa. Because to you I have given this land, Laresha Sosa. Says the Ramban. Now, these two places, this is a mitzvah asay d'oraisa. One of the 613 is to live in the land of Israel. Are you allowed to live outside the land of Israel? You're not committing an avera. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban, source number 9. Ramban, remember, most of his life, he lived in Chutz Laretz, he lived in Europe, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael towards the end of his life. Al Baitizu mitzvah sasehi, says the Rabban, this is the mitzvah sasehi. It's Sada Otsam She Yeshu Ba'aretz V'Yirshu Osa. You have to live there. It's not Lahem, it's given to us. Below Yimasu B'Nachlas Hashem. There are a number of parts of the mitzvah according to the Rabban. Not to be disgusted by the Nachlas Hashem. Somebody can live in Eretz Yisrael and hate it. Right? They're not fulfilling the mitzvah in Shleimusa. Because part of the mitzvah is to love it, to appreciate it. Not to be disgusted, right? Not rejecting it in terms of a place to live, that's one thing. But even when there, one has to see the good of it. And if it goes up in one's mind to settle and conquer as a Jewish homeland, a different area, be a violation, right? Remember 100 years ago, at one of the Zionist conventions at the beginning of the 20th century, he said, yeah, the Jews could have a homeland. Give them Uganda. Give them somewhere else. And they were thinking, some of the leaders were thinking about it, but Lemaisa said, oh, that's a big LSA. That's worse if you're trying to make another, not just living somewhere else, but making another land, the Jewish homeland. And then he quotes the Gemara at the end of Maseches Yud, and used to roll around in the dust of Eretz Yisrael. That is Ramban. He acknowledges that according to Rashi, this is not the shot of the pasuk. The Rashi, it just means it's Tanai. If you drive them out, then you'll be able to live there. And if not, then they're going to be thorns and pains for you, you know, for many years. Either way, that is the Ramban on the pasuk in Matos, and that is, of course, the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Ramban, where he adds on Mitzvahs that he says the Rambam should have listed but didn't list. The Ramban says in source number 10, a mitzvah revius shenitz tavinu lareshes haaretz. Hashanasa nakal yisbarach v'yisala l'avoseinu l'avram l'yisak l'yako. We're commanded to live there. Lo nazva b'yadzu l'aseinu in ha'umos, and not to leave it in the hands of others. O l'shmama. Right, here is another additional point. Not to leave it desolate. Every time, you know, there's construction, right? There's a famous joke. A famous will make it famous. There's a joke, they say, what is the national bird of Israel? The national bird of Israel is the crane, right? There's construction everywhere. Wherever you look, there's construction. But that's a key of this mitzvah, of Lishmama, right? You can't leave it desolate. Every building up of the land is a little key of the mitzvah. But the Ramban is clear that there is the mitzvah, I say, Daraisa, one of the 613, one of the 248, to live in the land of Israel. And a famous omission. There are four or five famous omissions of the Rambam. The Rambam does not list this as a separate, independent one of the 613. That is clear. The question is, why not? That is not clear. Why doesn't the Rambam list it? The Rambam doesn't believe in the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Of course he does. The Rambam doesn't believe that each of the Avos and is the place of the Jewish future. Of course he believes in that. But why doesn't the Rambam count it as a separate mitzvah? So there is the thought of the Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, one of the classic commentaries. Tzubis, remember the Gemara at the end of Tzubis, says Megillas Esther, that there is something called the Shalosh Shvuos, based on Pesukim and Shir Hashirim. There is an Agadic Gemara that says that at some time in history, there are three oaths that were made. One of them was that we wouldn't go up to Eretz Yisrael en masse until Mashiach comes. So, it says the Megillas Esther. You see, we're not supposed to go back to Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah was only Zman Yeshua and in the future. I, Chazal, said, oh, what about rolling in the dust? What about the beautiful Shevach? Says the Megillas Esther, that's only when we have a Beis Hamikdash and before we went into Galus. So this is the Rambam, and again, like I said, the Tzad Merevi made this famous. 99.9% of the poskim assume this cannot be correct, because the Rambam himself, in many different places, quotes the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael halacha l'maisa, and it is not does not seem like from any of these Rambams that they only apply Zman HaMikdash. Right, we learned Maseches Gittin last year. I remember the first parak of Maseches Gittin. The Mar tells us, and the Rambam quotes it in Source 14. The Rambam says in Ilchas Shabbos, "Alokeach bayis Eretz Yisrael min agoy." Somebody has a chance to sign on a house in Eretz Yisrael, and he only has Shabbos to sign on the house, so he can't sign on the house himself. That's a malacha daraisa. He can't do a malacha daraisa, you know, to get the house. But muter lo lomer lagoy, lichtov lo k'shtarbis Shabbos. A person can tell a goy amir lakum is muter. Why is it mutter? Amir lakum is usually mitzvah drabanan. Amir l'gai b'shabbos asur mitavrayim u'mishum yishev Eretz Yisrael l'gazru b'davar zeh. So it's in a halachic context. The Rambam says, yishev Eretz Yisrael allows a goy to sign a deed for me on Shabbos to get a house. It doesn't say it's only b'zman Yoshua. No, the Rambam's writing Mishnah Torah. And the previous two halachas, top of this page, I remember the Mishnah I said at the end of Ksubis. A man wants to make aliyah, a woman doesn't want to make aliyah. A woman wants to make aliyah. They can each force each other, or an eved and an adon. And the Rambam says, by avadim, din zeh b'chol zman, afilu b'zman hazeh, sha'ares b'yad akum. Does make a difference. Right, and the Rambam in Ilchas Melachim, at the end of Perek Hey, he quotes all of those agaditas at the end of Tzubis. Dole chachamayim enashkim atchum eret Yisrael used to kiss the ground. Umenashkin avaneha. Miskalgan Allah for you to kiss the stones, roll around in the dirt. And if you live in Eretz Yisrael, your sins are forgiven. A person should live in Eretz Yisrael, even be your Shabuba Akum. All the Akadatas. Why is the Rambam quoting this? Only Bisman Yoshua? Very, very difficult to suggest. Megillas Esther says that there is no mitzvah according to the Rambam Bisman Hazeh. So the question, therefore, is just a technical one. The Rambam holds a mitzvah also Bisman Hazeh. But why doesn't he quote it? That's the only Shaila. Why doesn't he quote it? Right? So there are different suggestions given. The stum, it's included in a different mitzvah. That's a popular derech to explain the Rambam. There are many different suggestions given. I gave you three, 16, 17, and 18. Right? Maybe the Rambam does count Yishev Eretz Yisrael, but is included in a different mitzvah. But which mitzvah? Number one, the Avnei Nezer, the Tzachat Shavar. Source 16 says the Avnei Nezer, the greater Avram Bornstein, father of the Shemi Shmuel, son-in-law of the Kutzker, says the Avnei Nezer. Those who did not get to go to Poland this year, I hope that Hashem next year, hopefully Mashiach will be here. We don't have to go to Poland, but if not, hopefully we'll be able to go to Kutz and Tzachat Shav maybe next year. But anyway, says the Avnei Nezer in Source 16. Zeh atzmo nearly where it's underlined. Hatam in Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvahs hachrim tachrimim. Says the Avnei Nezer. The Rambam does quote the mitzvah of hachrim tachrimim, driving out the other nations of Eretz Canaan. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to drive them out and they go live somewhere else? Obviously not. The Avnei Nezer says you drive them out in order to live there. That's the purpose of the mitzvah. The Rambam counts step one of the process, but it includes step two of the process. Mitzvah Sachrim Tachrimim, he Kadesha Nachnu Neshev Ba'aret, Shara Yoshua Shalach Pragmatutin, Misha Rotz Lafanos Yifana, Hagagashi Yamad, Hagagashi left, and they went to drive them out, they went to live there. You drive them out in order to go somewhere else? Who is included in that mitzvah, says the Avnei Nezer. Or the Eretz Chemda, this is an unbelievable one, for Shal Israeli. The Eretz Chemda, Sefer Eretz Chemda, says in Source number 17, says, you know what? Eretz Yisrael is included in the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon, benching. You know, the Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Memches, there are four items we have to mention in benching or else we're not Yotze. One of them is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Chemda Tova Rechava. We have to mention that. Why do we have to mention that? Because it's part of Hakar, part of Nodelecha. So we have to be Mode on Eretz, and it's a Din D'Oraisa. We have to be Mode on Eretz Yisrael as part of Birchas Hamazon. So you should be Mode. Thank you so much. But no thanks. I'll go somewhere else. That's Eretz Chemda. If you're thinking I'm going to Eretz Yisrael and then you decide, but it's not for me, it's like a child getting a gift. Thanks, Mom. I love it. Here, take it back. I'm not really so interested. There's Chanda says is included in Birchas Hamazon. And if somebody lives somewhere else, a bocher l'yishivaso artos chutz la'aretz, if somebody chooses another land, he's showing that, you know, thanks, but I like other presents. I like other lands more. There it's Chemda says, in a very creative way, it's included in Birchas Hamazon. So you have Achrim Tachrimi, Birchas Hamazon. And one final one, suggestion from Rav Shechter, Be'ikvei Hatzon, on the top of the next page. Rav Shechter says, maybe it's included in the mitzvah of appointing a melech. Suggests Rav Shechter is not just appointing a king, but appointing and setting up a Jewish government and a Jewish society in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says in source number 18. Pshuto nira d'hamadas melech lav dafkahu le'ikara shel mitzvah zu haynu hakamas memsheles hayehudim. It is the setting up a Jewish government. Not enough for us to live there and, you know, let other people rule. No. Everything is included. All of the setting up of the government is included in the mitzvah Hamadas Melech. So three suggestions are given. There is just one other. We're not going to focus on this right now. Besides the idea of the Rambam and the Ramban, there is another idea that the Megillas Esther alluded to, and that is the Gemara about the Shalosh Shvuos, which is at the end of Maseches Ksubos, that there's a Gemara that says that, oh, Bnei Yisrael took a Shvuah at some point in history that we would not go en masse up to Eretz Yisrael. So that's also what the Megillas Esther referred to and the Vayal Moshe referred to. So that is why some say, oh, we're not allowed. There's no mitzvah b'zman hazeh. So that also has been rejected by most of the Achronim. There's been svarim written about rejecting that. Just to mention a few of the ideas, what do you do with the Shalosh Shvuot? So number one, the most basic defense is that that's not a halachic gemara. It's not quoted by any posek. It's not quoted by the Rif, the Rambam, or the Rush. It's not quoted by the Tur or the Shulchan Aruch. It's not quoted by anybody. What is it? It's an agadata. What's the message of the agadata? Okay, you can sit and get the message, but it's not halacha, number one. Number two, the Ar Sameach, the great Meshech Chachma, says after the Balfour Declaration, 1917, 1918, his Lashon is Sar Pachar HaShvuos. It's not called going up in mass against the nations of the world. We have permission. Sar Pachar HaShvuos, says the Ar Sameach. And finally, number three, just to mention three ideas, is a Rav Shlomo Kluger, based on Shulchan Aruch, that says, if two people make oaths to each other, I promise you something and you promise me something. If one person violates their oath, then the other person is allowed to violate their oath. The three oaths in Ksubis. One of them was the Jews shouldn't go on to Mass to Eretz Yisrael. You know what the other one was? If you look there, that the Jews shouldn't be subjugated more than appropriately in their years in Galus. That obviously has been violated by the Crusades and the Holocausts and the pogroms and the libels. So once they violated their part of the bargain, he could violate ours. But either way, Achronim assumed that that is not an issue for the Shalosh Shvuos. So, Lamaisa, we take a step back for a minute. After the dust clears, the Rambam and the Ramban both hold there is a mitzvah d'oraisa b'zman hazeh to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, so why do not many, not why are there many Jews that don't? So those who can, one, those who do. What is the defense, but during all the years of galus, of people who had the opportunity to go back and didn't go back. So there are those. You look in source 19, Rav Moshe, and this is also said by Rav Soloveitchik, maybe it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah, of course, but it's a mitzvah kiyumis, not chiyuvis. Meaning it's a mitzvah that's situated. If you live there, you get a mitzvah, but it's not usher to live outside. Okay, that's true. But many say that, this is also a mitzvah kiyumis. We as observant Jews try to do everything we can to fulfill every mitzvah kiyumis also, not just every mitzvah chiyuvis. So, yes, that's true, but we just try to do it. He compares it to tzitzis. Okay, so we do tzitzis. That's one idea, though. Tosfos in Ksubis, source 20, has a famous comment where he says, first of all, maybe it's a sakana today, it's dangerous. In the days of Tosfos, it was dangerous. The Crusades were going on. Couldn't travel, right? It took you weeks to get there, and you didn't know if pirates would assault you or take your money or kill you. That's the sakana that Tosfos is talking about. Hard to say sakana bizman hazeh. And the Hafla even has an amazing comment on that Gemara in Ksubis Kofiud. Right, the Hafla, the Baal Hafla, the Rebbe Chassam Sofer. The Hafla says, source 21, you only have the taina of ones if without the ones you would have done it. Right, if somebody is ne'anas and they can't do a mitzvah, what if a person has no money, they can't buy an esrog? If they would have had money, they would have bought the esrog. You only get ki'ilu, you did it. You only get the credit. You can only use it as an excuse if you would have done it without the ones. If you wouldn't have done it without the ones, then you can't use that as an excuse. There's the Hafla. You can only say, ones, sakana, I can't go, if without the ones, I would have gone. If I wouldn't have gone anyway, because I'm comfortable, whatever it is, then you can't use that taina of ones. That's a very strong comment from the Hafla. One of my rabbis many years ago said, it's amazing that in most areas of life, you know, we look for every chumra in the book. Everybody looks for every chumra in the book. And to be choshesh for this das yachid, when it comes to the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden, it's a very different attitude. Very different attitude by many. Look for every kula in the book. Oh, if you read the Gemara this way, and you hold like this, hold like that, oh, then I can live here. We have to be honest. But that's another. So number one, maybe it's a kiyumis. Number two, maybe it's a sakana. Moses quoted the second day and the name of Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Maybe it's hard to do the mitzvah satulias baretz. Yitzchei Tshuva quotes the Maharit. That has to be a mistake. Since when do we not have to do mitzvahs? Because it's a little more challenging. Hard to do the mitzvah satulias baretz. So learn about the mitzvah satulias baretz. Very hard to suggest that. The Abnei Nezer writes, also a big chiddush. Maybe if somebody lives in Eretz Yisrael but is supported by Chutz La'aretz, does not contribute at all to the Israeli economy, so maybe there it's not a full kiyum of the mitzvah. And that's why many of the rebbes would have had their dynasties outside, would have had to be supported in Chutz La'aretz, so maybe that's why they didn't come. He writes about some of the Chassidish rebbes, which is not true today, because nowadays, even if people get money from Chutz La'aretz, they're still contributing to the Israeli economy. They go to the stores, they buy gas, they buy food. So it's still difficult. So there are different suggestions given, but again, after the dust settles, it seems like there's the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody agrees. Now there is a Trumas Hadeshen. I don't think I gave you the Trumas Hadeshen. There's a Trumas Hadeshen that says one has to figure out exactly, you know, where I could be the best Oved Hashem. And again, the Rambam, the Torah says Eretz Yisrael is the place for Jews to be. And it's not our job to judge anybody. It's our job to figure out a way to fulfill this mitzvah and be the best Jews in Eretz Yisrael as we can. If we can't get there at this moment, if there are other values that are involved, whether it's school, whether it's a wife, whether it's any other issues, family issues, so obviously those come into consideration. In the back of our minds, and hopefully towards the front of our minds, is the issue that Eretz Yisrael is the central part of our lives. And there is, though, just one other point to mention. And that is, specifically in our generation, you know, every generation has a certain tafkid. There's a certain tafkid in their generation. You know, in some generations, you know, the tafkid was like post-Churban HaBayis, right? The question is, was Torah going to stay strong and vibrant without a central Sanhedrin, without a central B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? And they kept the Torah vibrant. They wrote the Mishnah and the Gemara. Other generations, right? The challenge was, you know, to stay true to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face of a false Mashiach, Bar Kokhba and Shabtai Tzvi and others. And other generations keeping strong emunah in the face of terrible persecutions, Holocaust and the Crusades and others. What's the challenge of our generation? But they ask that seriously. What's the challenge of our generation? We generally live countries, freedom of religion. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that America is called the Medina Shel Chesed. Many countries, we have freedom of religion, freedom of moving around, freedom of everything. We're affluent. So what's the challenge of our generation? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking for? So some have pointed out, maybe it's going back to what happened 2,000 years ago. Ezra Sofer sent out letters, come back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? We live in the generation of the post-Holocaust. Medina Yisrael is there. Jews live there. But to live an Orthodox Shomer Torah Mitzvah's life in Eretz Yisrael. When the Ramban who came to Eretz Yisrael, there wasn't even a minyan in Yerushalayim. Right? And now, look what's there. And it is Nefesh Ben Nefesh. Right? My grandfather came to visit Palestine in 1928. It took him 3 weeks to get here. He went by boat from New York all the way to Egypt, and he took a train from Egypt up to, Yafo. I don't know exactly where the train went. Check the diary. It was much more challenging. Now you get on a plane, you're there a couple hours later. And the government throws money at you. We have to recognize, you know, what's the challenge of our generation? To recognize the center of the Jewish future, to recognize, you know, what Eretz Yisrael means for Am Yisrael. And if we can't live there at this moment, we have to try to do our best. Think about the future. Think about our life. Think about where we are heading. There's an amazing Oznayim LaTorah of Saratskin. One of the Golem from the 1950s, 1960s, in Source 28, writes that we had last week's Parsha Shmini. There's a non-kosher bird. But in Re'ei and Shmini, it's called two different words. One place is called the Ra'a, and one case is called the Da'a, the Reisha with a Dalet. So the Zayin LaTorah in the bottom of the page, Source 28, he says, Vesadahu Ra'a, Amur B'Mishnah Torah. He says, Da'a in Shmini, it says Ra'a in Re'ei. Law Manik Rashma Ra'a, Sher Rabbi Yosef. Why is it called the Ra'a? Because it has amazing vision. Tana, Omedes B'Bavel, V'Ro'a Nevela Be'Eretz Yisrael. This bird is so amazing, it could stand in Bavel and see a dead carcass, it's a nevela in Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable vision. That's the Gemara in Chulin. Yes, Azayim LaTorah, if it's such an amazing bird, has such an amazing power of vision, then why is it a non-kosher bird? Why is it non-kosher? If it has such an amazing vision. Says Azayim LaTorah, such sharp words. It doesn't take a kosher bird, or it's not a kosher bird if somebody's standing in Bavel and sees Nevela in Eretz Yisrael. If somebody's standing in Chutz La'aretz and just looks into Eretz Yisrael and sees what's wrong, the raw Nevela of Eretz Yisrael, that's a non-kosher bird. Remez la'anoshim, a roim Nevela, Eretz Yisrael, Yishem atzmam omdim b'bavel. In abom l'sheves b'Eretz Yisrael, la'azor le'ilam, tadlam l'asis neshama la'am aleha. Ben tats Torah nochem yiseh. It's our job to recognize that wherever we are, we have to speak positively about Eretz Yisrael, to recognize it's a matana. Remember Gemara, the first statement that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said in all of Shas, Brachas Daf Hei, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Shalosh Matanos Tovos, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. There were three gifts that Hashem has given us. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. Rav Yerucham writes in one of his Svarim, each of these are part and parcel of every Jew. And if we're missing any part of it, any part of them, so then we're missing a large chelek. If we're missing Olam Haba, obviously we're missing Torah, Eretz Yisrael. Right? Right now, there are many that are here, and those of you who are, you know, zooming in, we know where your hearts are. We know where you want to be. And we know where Beit Hashem you'll be next year. But for right now, or as soon as possible, if not sooner, but we have to recognize that any attitude that we have to make sure that we keep Eretz Yisrael in our hearts, in our minds, obviously to live there at some point in our lives, when there's independence and there's decisions that can be made. But until that point, if we're not there yet, and if we're not physically there yet right now either, we have to try to do what we can to keep it central in our minds, to keep it central in our hearts, to know that halachigli, ruba of the Rishonim, if not all the Rishonim, all that it's a mitzvah, not all to say, but ruba of the Rishonim say it's a mitzvah of the Zman Hazeh, and we have to do what we can to try to fulfill this amazing definitional mitzvah, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.